Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and it's nice to be back with you. There was a time way back in history known as the Neolithic period that men and women were actually equal. In fact, women were very much esteemed, honored, and deeply respected as mother goddesses and creators of life. But under patriarchy, women lost that status, and since then we've been continually struggling for equality and battling oppression, or at least women have. Today, however, around the world, women and girls are still disproportionately represented in entertainment, in politics, and in the world of business. Fortunately, though, we do have influential and passionate individuals who are paving the path to one day help them achieve gender equality. And our guest today is one such person. His name is Kimberly Berg. He is a world-renowned, award-winning artist and an exceptional male feminist advocate who supports women and he believes in equality. He points out the world is experiencing a real massive shift for women to embrace more leadership roles in organizations as well as government and express emotional liberation, self-transformation, and inner peace. And now is the monumental time for women to move forward with confidence and reassurance that they can embrace their capabilities and potential so they can finally break down barriers and achieve gender balance. And those are some of the thoughts of our guest, Kimberly Berg. He is a staunch feminist, and his passion and hopes are mirrored in his magnificent paintings that have long captivated the public with the depiction of women as highly self-reliant, honorable, sacred, and gracious individuals. Some of his most memorable and notable paintings include My Goddess, another one named Creatus, another one Mediation, and Mandela Galleries. These are some of the things we're going to be talking about with Kimberly today. He's on the line with us from his home base in Caddyville, New York. And it is an honor for us to have Kimberly here today to talk to him. I just want to say good morning, Kimberly. How are things in, what's it like in Caddyville, New York today? Are you snowed in or not so bad today?
No, there is snow, but it's been a very mild winter for us. It doesn't even seem like winter almost.
Yeah, well, you know, in many respects, that's good. It could be a lot worse. Some sections of the country have really had it. Talk to the folks in Buffalo if you don't believe that.
Right.
Let me ask you a little bit. Describe yourself. You describe yourself as a male feminist artist. What does that mean to you? Explain that for me. How do you describe that?
Well, I am very. I want to make sure that you. I'm not just interested in creating pretty pictures. I'm an artist interested in addressing women's problem of confronting male patriarchy. I'm creating through art what feminists are trying to achieve by confronting 5,000 years of male patriarchy. I call myself a feminist because I'm doing the same work that female feminists are doing. Calling myself a maleness just doesn't cut it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit. Obviously, you're very knowledgeable about this. I'm very impressed with your background. I know you grew up in Wisconsin, graduated from the University of Wisconsin with a major in history. And then came to New York with the intention of becoming a writer. How did you make that transition from wanting to be a writer into actually being an artist, and a very, very good one, and gifted and appraised one as well? How did that happen?
Well, I didn't want to be just a writer. I was trying to be a poet. And that I did get some poems published, but I never got a book published, and without that you can't go anywhere. So I had won a contest when I was about 14 years old with a poem that I wrote. And
right.
later lost, but that was convinced me that I wanted to be a poet and wanted to be known as a poet. But because I wasn't able to get anything published on a book level, I decided not to go any further with that. And then I'd always been interested in art. When I was living in New York, I went through all the galleries and museums and studied everything. I never took a single art course in school, but I still felt that I could be an artist if I put my mind to it. And that's what turned out to be even more rewarding than trying to be a poet.
So you realized you had talent as an artist, and you hadn't. It's interesting that you hadn't tried that before. And did you ever take lessons, or were you ever taught by an artist, or not? You just had this ability, natural ability. Good for you.
It is, but it. I also had a friend, a female friend that had just graduated from art school, and she wanted me to draw with her. Her parents had a cottage on the lake, the Champlain Lake, and we used to go. She was living there, and she invited me to join her. So together we were drawing, sometimes deep into the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And one thing I noticed from my drawing that I had a talent for creating an emotional response, and I was completely unaware that I could do anything like that. But seeing that inspired me to keep working on it, and I mean working year after year. And, but it all paid off.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about you. I mean, obviously, you're very knowledgeable in history. You studied it. Talk to me a little bit about, and this will get us into what you paint, the roles women played in Neolithic times. Talk about that, because you're very learned on that. How do you answer that?
Yeah. Well, it's not just Neolithic, it's also Paleolithic. I go all the way back.
But
in Neolithic times, they had advanced quite a bit by that time. But one of the most important things that was done was women had... There was one woman, they were mostly, at that time, they were mostly called the gatherers. They would have to go out and gather grains in order to get them through the winter. And one time, one woman realized that she found a seedling that was the same as the grains that she had been collecting, and it was growing on the path that she knew she had taken the fall before that. And she realized that by planting seeds in the ground, they'll come up as grain. And that's the beginning of agriculture. And we still have agriculture today, and it's the one thing that supplies our food. So, and all this was because of a woman 5,000 years ago.
How about that? That's amazing. that's very, very interesting indeed.
Yes, it is.
Obviously, you studied this. This was very impressed you in your studies of history, as you point out, at the University of Wisconsin. So let's talk about your art a little bit. How do you describe your art? Give me your depiction of your art. What would you say?
Okay, well, my main art is done using pastels. And that's not... Usually most artists avoid pastels because it's a very delicate medium to be in. And it can be easily damaged as well. But I like the effect that I can get through using pastels. So even though it's not a medium that's used very often, I still didn't let that bother me. I still worked on all my paintings as with pastels. And one of the nice things about it, it can get light. It's very good at creating light.
Okay.
Illumination.
Like from the sky and on the human. Most of your images feature the human female image, right? The female body, a woman.
Right. Yes. Right.
And it's interesting you do these in pastels. What's the typical size of one of your paintings? It's, you know, it's so hard to tell when you're looking on the on your website. We have a great website, by the way. It's KimberlyBerg.com. If folks are interested in seeing your art, Kimberly, obviously, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-Y, KimberlyBerg.com. If you go there and look in the gallery section, you'll find, you know, really amazing collection of a lot of Kimberly's artwork, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, but how big are these pictures? Or are they various sizes? I guess they're all various sizes, aren't they?
Yeah, well, it's not like a painting in oils. So I have done some on a larger scale, but most of them are a smaller scale, maybe 3 feet by 2 feet or something like that. As I say, you know, it's a delicate, it's a very delicate medium, and easily it can be easily damaged. So I don't work. So most people that work in pastel work on a smaller scale.
Is there something? You're right. I know exactly what you mean by saying that a painting that done or well, not a painting, but a piece of art done in pastels can be easily damaged if you rub your fingers over it and your hand over it. What do you put something on the surface that protects it, or do you cover them with glass?
I cover them with glass, not glass
you
anymore.
Do.
So everything's plastic now.
All right. You know, the description I have of understand is that you describe yourself as depicting women in a positive light. Your work, and it really does do that. You want to talk about one or two of your not one or two? Maybe we can talk about more. But can I pick one from the collection I'm seeing and have you describe it for me and talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
How about, for example, I'm looking at a very interesting piece of artwork called Creatus 8 with VII. I guess this is the eighth version you've done of a female as a creative. Talk about this painting. You know what I'm talking about? I call it a painting. I know it's really it's a piece of art. It's not a painting, right?
Yeah.
So pardon me for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure which one you're talking about because that's not actually the title of the painting.
Creatress.
Well, what's in the painting? Can you describe it?
Well, it looks like a pregnant woman sitting. She's partially exposed. She has a negligee on that's covering half of her body. Certainly not all of it. You can certainly see her extended stomach. She's pregnant, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you picked that one out because that's where I started, and. One of the things when I was doing it, this is in the 90s, pregnant women were considered ugly. And I wanted to address that problem. So I started my career more or less drawing pregnant women. And I'm not sure just which one you're talking about, but I wanted them to pose nude so I could concentrate and showcase their belly. That was the main feature.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, not one woman ever turned me down.
Really?
And, right. And
let me ask you about doing that. If a woman has to sit for you while you're doing your your artwork. I mean, does she sit there for? Does she have to sit there for a long time while you're doing this? Can you take a picture and then paint from your work from the picture, or what? Explain how that works.
No, I photographed. I would photograph then.
You
and
did,
then,
and then you worked from the photograph.
Yes, I get it.
It's an extraordinary painting, a beautiful painting. Very, and I understand exactly what you're talking about. So you've done a number of paintings of that nature, right, of pregnant women, you say?
And the interesting thing is, you know, at that time, women were wearing, you know, very loose clothing to cover up their belly. And now you see women walking the streets with tight garments that accentuated their belly. And it's, I don't know if it's because of the paintings or what, but it's certainly quite a difference.
I would agree with you. You're absolutely right. Let's talk about, you know, there's so many things that I can get into with you. There's another painting you have, When Drummers Were Women. How did that affect your life? Remember that?
Yes, it was an extreme transformation for me because it, like I say, when I was going to college, I wanted to take a course in ancient history, and they didn't offer that. The furthest back was the Greeks, and that really didn't go very far. And so about 20 years later, I came across this book, When the Drummers Were Women, and it starts out going back to Paleolithic times and describing women and how they lived and how the kind of civilization they created. And it was everything that I was looking for in that, and that was the first time I ever heard anything about what happened in Neolithic times or Paleolithic times.
Right.
So it really transformed everything. That's when I really started working on trying to make people understand, you know, their history, because it was, that was a time before patriarchy took effect. So women had complete freedom, and they created a lot of things that we enjoy today, but without any understanding of how it first happened, how it first developed. I like to say, why do judges wear black robes?
It's a good question. Why do they? Do you know?
Okay. During the end of the Neolithic period, and when men started exerting power, and that was only because it became clear at that time that women, that birth took place when a woman, when they had sex. And before that, it was thought that the moon made a woman pregnant. And when men realized that they played a part in it also, that's when everything started to change. And at one point, they wanted to take over the judge, being judged, but before that it was all women that were judges. And in order, they weren't accepted because they didn't look like a judge, you know, to the populace. And so then they had the idea, well, we'll dress like them and then they'll be more open to our, you know, what we were trying to do. And believe it or not, that is still with us today, 5,000 years later.
Wow.
That's
very interesting.
Yeah, we think that we're completely divorced from anything that happened more than 50 years ago, and this is something that it's just doesn't give women due credit for anything.
you know, you speaking about women, I'm just wondering, are there any feminists that you particularly admire?
That's interesting because I know women, but
yeah,
women, they won't come out and say they're a feminist in front of a guy. So I know that there's a lot of feminists that I meet and that I have as friends, but unless you ask them if they're a feminist or not, and even if you ask them if they're a feminist, they'll be hesitant to tell you because of all the things that go along with feminism. Women are afraid how women will react to it.
Let me ask you about what's going on today in society and how that's affecting what kind of images you draw. You know, I don't know if there's any given time or a period that's reflected in your artwork. I'm looking at, for example, another really impressive piece called The Goddess Embraced. You know the piece about?
Yes.
You know the work. Talk to me a little bit about it. What's the point of that?
Okay. That was photographed from a statue I have of the birth of Venus. And it's in a pond back in the woods. And I had her pose with that statue. And that's why it's called Sacred Embrace. And
yeah.
That's one way of trying to help women understand, you know, that it's all right to believe in a goddess. And I try to create that kind of reaction through my art. And
it's very interesting.
Yes.
I have to point out to our audience again. You have a really intriguing website. It's KimberlyBerg.com, and if you go there, if you look in the gallery section, you'll see a lot of these pieces of art that Kimberly has done, and they're really quite remarkable. And I know you know, being such an ardent feminist as you are, what do you think some of the most important steps women should take in order to make some real positive changes in society? How would you answer a question like that?
Okay. I have a sheet of paper here. It's called Emily's List. And in this list, she has a picture of every woman who has been elected as a senator in the House of Representatives, in the House of Senate. In the House of Representatives is 42 women. In the Senate is 8 different women. And even as governors, there's 11 women. And with that many women now in using their political credentials, they can make big changes that weren't possible before. I'm not saying everyone has to run for election for something, but that's just one place where it's happening, and it can have a very powerful effect if they are really want to support feminism.
Yeah, so you would support women running for political office, and that's exactly what you're talking about there. No question about that.
And that's the one thing that they were denied all this time, to have a woman, even as vice president as we have now, it would have been unheard of before, not very long before.
Well, there's no question that women are making a big dent in the world of politics. They're doing that quite effectively, and that's for sure. Did I ask you if there are any feminists that you particularly admire? I think I did.
I can't think of anything that's
okay.
Outstanding.
Okay. I was just wondering how a particular feminist that we all might know would be reflected in your artwork. But I guess, the way you're feeling and you're wanting to help women and empower women is, your pictures are pretty general about women, indeed. They're all, of course, about women, featuring women. And they're stunning photographs.
I want to create something that they can identify with. If you're going to just paint, very famous people or even political people, it's not going to have the same effect if you're drawing just a person that a wife and ordinary person.
I get it. How about creatress? Well, no, let's not do that because you have a lot of creatress. I'm looking at one. I will ask about it. Creatress number 9, and this is one with the image has a lady with the moon is up above in the corner, in the right hand corner. You know the one I'm talking about? It looks like she has a globe in her hands. Talk about that.
I'm not sure about that one, but I have one that's called Ova Moon.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that one too. Talk about that.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Well, like I said, it was thought in Paleolithic times that it was the moon that made you pregnant. And I'm working on that idea. But the thing is that women have a long history, and they've learned a lot of things. They've had to work through a lot of things. And I spent a lot of my work, features the goddess, because now we have a god, a male god, and the idea of a female goddess is completely outside the venue of what we understand as being a spiritual identity. And I spent a lot of time, creating the goddess and trying to reestablish her the way she once was considered as beautiful. But also, it's not just the goddess, it's everything she created. The god is, somewhere off in some corner of the universe, but the goddess was considered present in everything that she created. So if you're walking through the woods and you see trees or flowers or birds or anything, they believe this was all a part of the goddess. And that's sort of what I'm trying to bring out in my art as well.
Well, I think you do that very, very well, no question about it. And I think anybody who takes a look at your artwork would understand that. Kimberly, we're running out of time rapidly here, but I want to point out you've got this great website. And you're coming back again next week. We're going to be talking to Kimberly. He'll be a guest here with us next week. And we'll talk about more of your artwork and, some of your thoughts about how you can help women. But in any event, the website, I want to repeat it for our audience, it's Kimberly Berg, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-Y, Berg, B-E-R-G. And if you go there, you'll absolutely see examples of Kimberly's art. It's really great. Kimberly, thanks for taking the time to be with us today, and we'll look forward to having you back with us again next week to explore more about your thoughts on feminism and more about your art and how you do it. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Listen, Kimberly, it's been great having you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your being with us. Don't forget that website, everybody, KimberlyBerg.com. Go there. It's fascinating.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit CloseUpTelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We sure do. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and that's it for today, everybody. Till the next time, take care. Bye for now.